Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 25th of June, 2025. The HATH podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller will be here shortly with the news, including a tick that has shown up in Indiana and can create issues in livestock. Also, tax bill discussions in the U.S. Senate that will impact farmers. HATH Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for a slow break in that extreme heat starting to materialize across Indiana, along with some rain chances. And the corn, bean, and wheat markets again on the defensive yesterday. We'll have the numbers and market analysis with Arlen Suderman on the HATH Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
The Asian longhorn tick found in Indiana, and the Senate takes up the reconciliation bill this week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. As summer heats up, you need to be on the lookout for the Asian longhorn tick. It's now been found in Indiana, and as CJ Miller reports, it can cause a lot of harm to your cattle and other livestock.
It's a very, very tiny little tick. It's very small, like the size of a pinhead, so it can be hard to spot. But they can do some big damage.
And that's Denise Dare-Spears with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health.
They can have some impact because, number one, they can carry diseases. And number two, the tick infestations can become so intense and so bad that it can actually cause insanguination as a cause of death. It's a terrible way for any animal to have to die. One of the other concerns we have with Asian longhorn tick, particularly for cattle producers, is that they will carry theileriosis and can cause anemia, abortion, death in cattle.
She says the Asian longhorn ticks have been found not only in Hendricks County, but they were recently found in Dearborn County on a beef cow that was so severely infested it died from severe blood loss. Those ticks can not only harm cattle, sheep, goats, and horses, but also your dogs and cats.
It's a good idea to keep an eye on your animals that are outside. Of course, when you talk about dogs, cats, it's very easy to get them on a flea or tick preventative. But look over your animals. It's a challenge when you've got cattle out on pasture, especially in southern Indiana, the rolling hills. You may not be laying eyes on those animals on a regular basis. So it could be hard to pick up. So it's highly recommended to watch that.
Read more and find a picture of the Asian longhorn tick. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Retail agronomists and crop consultants attend the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indianapolis August 4th through 6th and enjoy complimentary registration. This event is a must attend for retail agronomists looking to network with industry leaders with key sessions on sustainability and nutrient management. Use the code Hoosier in all caps for complimentary registration. Visit tfi.org/events and use the code Hoosier to secure your complimentary spot at the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indy.
The Senate reconciliation budget that includes farm safety net improvements is up this week as Republicans try to pass and return to the House the president's core tax bill by July 4th. It's crunch time for the Senate, taking up its version of the House passed reconciliation budget, including improved reference prices, crop insurance coverage, and business tax breaks.
We lowered tax rates for owners of small and medium-sized businesses, farms, and ranches, and made it easier for them to recover the cost of investing in their businesses, which in turn freed up cash for them to invest in their operations and their workers.
Majority Leader John Thune there pointing to a couple, including the pass-through deduction many producers take on their individual returns.
The Section 199A small business tax deduction and full expensing for new capital investment in domestic research and development. Our legislation will permanently extend these key provisions.
It does the same for the immediate expensing of farm and other equipment, plus a doubling of the estate tax exemption and survival of the 45Z biofuels credit. However, the Senate would scale back SNAP by some $80 billion. Senate Democrats leader Chuck Schumer says the bill, based on nonpartisan scoring, still costs more than it generates in economic growth.
Even after you take into account any impacts, any economic impacts, the so-called dynamic scoring created by the Republican bill, it is still a loser for working and middle-class families. Only the wealthy gain.
But Thune argues the opposite, and for farmers, it means a modernized safety net and greater tax certainty. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Heat starts to break today, although it is going to be a slow pullback in terms of comfort level getting where we really want it. That's because humidity values are going to stay relatively strong. The oppressive heat starts to go away mostly due to the fact that we have more cloud cover around and a chance of some precipitation. If you look back through yesterday and even into Monday, there's been a fairly significant weather system trying to build to our west and northwest, coming out of the upper Midwest through Wisconsin across into the Great Lakes. Well, today, some of that moisture that's been streaming into Michigan is going to try and settle southward. I'm actually looking at better coverage later this afternoon and evening over the state than what we were seeing a few days ago. I think we can see 60 to 70% coverage across Indiana today, well, this afternoon and tonight, of scattered showers. Now, most of these are going to be pop-up showers and garden variety thunderstorms. I am not concerned about severe weather right now. I think there's just been too much heat and we're capping our atmosphere too much to really get too much major convection going, but we'll keep an eye on it. So today, good chances of rain in the afternoon and evening. Tomorrow, we still have that moisture to the north that's going to try and head our way, but less coverage tomorrow, maybe about 30% for your Thursday. And then we get into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday time frame. Still seeing hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms around. Probably 40 to 50% coverage each day. Combined, though, pretty much from today through Sunday, I think everybody's got a chance for moisture at least one time and likely a couple of times. Now we get into the start of next week, Monday the 30th, hit and miss the scattered showers and thunderstorms around as a frontal boundary does sag through. It brings down cooler air, but I think that Sunday night, Monday time frame can bring another quarter to three quarters of an inch to almost everyone. We are dry behind it for the second, third, fourth, and fifth. Late the 5th into the 6th, we have another frontal complex coming through. Better chance for strong thunderstorms in there to finish out the 4th of July holiday weekend. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Another sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. We'll have the final numbers coming up. Market analysis to kick us off, though. I got that from Arlen Suderman of StoneX at the end of the session. Markets again sell off as a risk-off sentiment seems to continue. We have some other factors as well. And certainly, Arlen, a crop condition update to talk about. That may be a factor. But overall, we are looking at more selling, more pressure on these markets, primarily in your view from where?
You know, it seems to be with the war over crude oil, we hope over anyway, crude oil prices collapsing down $14 from yesterday's high. And the sense, oh, inflation risks have suddenly evaporated. There's no need to own the commodities. So headwinds for the major commodities from that aspect of the funds. And the grain and oilseeds simply don't have a story to argue against that. When you look at wheat prices that saw the biggest drops today, we're in the middle of winter wheat harvest. And so while we've got some quality issues where we've had excessive rain, and in the plains, we've got some spots with some disease issues too affecting quality, we still got lots of bushels. And we carried over lots of bushels from the previous year, and we're adding on to that. And the world market right now is pretty cheap. And the Black Sea sets those prices, and the Black Sea is cheap right now as Russia tries to get its business back with the new crop harvest. So that's weighing on wheat, corn, and soybeans. Crop ratings are above average for this time of year and looking good. And so this is a market that lacks a story to go against the grain right now.
Forecasts, are those actually improving, maybe giving us some sense that the crop is going to continue to show up fairly well in the condition reports?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing that. The problem all along has been in the 30-day outlook that goes beyond the 2 weeks. So it's day 16 to 45, and that has consistently been calling for hot, dry conditions across much of the Midwest. And but that's never pulled forward into the 2 week. And then when we came in today, we'd actually seen that extended outlook start to improve and show better conditions. There's one particular model that I follow that includes the weather for that 16 to 45 day period. And it had been consistently showing a yield about 10 bushels below its current yield based on what current conditions are. But this morning it added on about 5 bushels to that, reflecting the improved weather conditions in the extended forecast. So right now, corn and soybeans simply don't have a story outside of some regional problems that still exist.
Let's talk more about that crude oil situation, because it has had analysts just absolutely stunned, maybe some of them mystified, that in a time of war in the Middle East, crude oil has plummeted as it has. Can you explain why the sudden reversal from that $5 spike Sunday night, Monday morning?
Well, the war itself didn't have much of an effect on Iranian crude oil exports, because those had already been reduced dramatically by President Trump enforcing sanctions against Iran. So that really wasn't a game changer. The 12-day war specifically wasn't a game changer. The fear was that the 12-day war would expand into a much longer war and much broader conflict, and that Iran would try to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, through which about 20 million barrels per day flow through that narrow passage out of the Persian Gulf. And so that was the concern. So particularly after the U.S. struck the nuclear plants in Iran and seemingly did significant damage, just kind of destroying Iran's nuclear program, the fear hit the high point. We argued at StoneX that we didn't think that Iran had either the capability or the willingness to shut it down. They could cause disruptions, but that they did not want to see another direct conflict with the United States after seeing the firepower that we had, because the next thing on the table would likely be Karg Island, where 90% of their crude oil is exported, and that is what is funding their economy and funding their proxy groups, and they would not want such an attack on Karg Island. So we didn't expect a direct hit. We didn't think that they would try to shut down the Hormuz, Strait of Hormuz, and they did not. They did a symbolic strike on a couple of bases in the Middle East, giving advanced warning, so to speak, of doing so, and then it was over, and the market was reassured, and so it totally removed the war premium in the 2 days that followed.
Arlen Suderman there, StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday market review, down 3 cents on July corn, 416 and a quarter. September down a nickel and a quarter, 412 and a quarter. December off 4 3/4, down to 429. 12 cents lower, July beans, 1046 and 3/4. 1050 and a quarter on the August, 11 3/4 lower. And Novi dips 9 3/4, down to 1037. July wheat Meat, the weak side leader, 535 and three quarters, 17 cents down. Meats mostly lower. August live cattle, the only contract higher, up 17 cents at 209.55. August lean hogs, 110.95, down $2.10. And that's the Tuesday Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.